Good day to you. Here are my three things on Isaiah chapter 29. Number one, here at the beginning of the chapter, the city of Jerusalem, David's city, is called Ariel. So he says, woe to Ariel. Ariel is translated the hearth of God's altar. God's altar was found in Jerusalem, and so that was the place for the true offerings to God were offered up at the temple. And yet the people celebrated their festivals more than ever before. You know, add one year to another, let your cycle of festivals roll on, verse 1 says. But it does more to hasten God's judgment than hinder that coming judgment. There'll be mourning and lamentation, verse 2. Jerusalem would be an altar hearth full of ashes after consuming fire. God will punish Jerusalem by letting the city be laid under siege by enemies who build ramparts and these siege towers around the city, the common kind of warfare of the day. The city would be the target for such an all-encompassing destruction that its inhabitants will be muffled by their voices would be muffled by all the dust and gravel raining down on them. Verse 4 talks about that. Such a violent destruction took place first through the Babylonians in 586, and then through the Romans again in AD 70. So God's judgment is coming, and yet the hypocrisy, hypocritical worship is led to darkening of the people's understanding. They get to hear the message of the Lord's undeserved mercy and see his deeds of salvation, but they continue in their unbelief and their stumbling journey away from the Lord and his word. Their hardening of their own hearts is the reason for the Lord's judgment of hardening against them. Verse 10 says, for the Lord has poured out a spirit of deep sleep over you. He has closed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. So the teachings of the true prophet has become a sealed book to them. Verses 11 and 12 speak of that. The hypocrisy has led to a darkening of their understanding. 13 and 14. These people approach me with their words, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus actually quotes those words in his ministry, in the Gospels. But their idol worship is not controlled by God's word, but by commandments taught by men. They think they're worshiping the one true God, when in reality, they are following their own thoughts and their rules. And so this needs to be exposed even more, so that the believing remnant is not deceived. Those who remain faithful, so that they stay faithful. And yet the salvation that God miraculously accomplishes and offers to the needy is rejected by the wisdom of this world. So that's number two. And then finally, number three, the last part of the chapter deals with the true greatness of the Lord being revealed. And maybe just looking to the end of the chapter, in the latter verses, think about God's will for a second. God's will to save is universal. His promise of rescue and blessing are aimed at the whole house of Jacob. He certainly wants all people to be saved. But for a minority, these promises give hope, and the faith among the believing remnant grows strong. Verse 24 says, those who are confused will come to understand, and those who complain will gladly receive instruction. The verse shows that power, so it shows what power the Lord's promise have. They can kindle faith among unbelievers, lead the lost to the right path, and transform dissatisfied people who reject God's word into gracious people who accept God's word. And so the power of the word, the power of God's promise to cut through the hypocritical, blind heart to see the promise of a Savior and God's great love. Have a blessed day in the Lord.